Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Hi, everyone. This is Natalie Jean, Natalie Jean, Nat, chatting with Nat. And today I have the honor of having singer-songwriter Angela Freedom. With a laid-back, soulful style, singer-songwriter Angela Freedom expresses emotion with honesty and passion. She has a knack for writing catchy melodies and lyrics that touch your heart, and sings with the bluesy overtones that hint of her roots in Detroit. Freedom's songs have been heard by millions through television, film, and in major retail chains. Credits include the popular Hallmark movie Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane, Lifetime's hit show Dance Moms, commercials for ING Bank and Fiat, and more. Let's give a round of welcome to Angela Freedom. Hi, Angela.
Hi, how are you? I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm excited to have you because I read your article and I think you're just amazing. You're an amazing woman. You know how to write, and you know where it's at, and you know how to empower women and let the men know how they should talk to women. So I love that.
The music connection. Yeah, you know, that's something I wrote that article because it's like something that I haven't really seen addressed that I felt like needed to be addressed, you know, because there's a lot of these boys clubs in music and, you know, just thought it'd be good to talk about it.
No, I think it was poignant. And I think we really needed it right now because I don't think people or men really understand what it is like to be a woman. Obviously they don't. And they need to be taught how to address women, especially, like you said, those boys clubs. They just think that they can say and do whatever they want. But, you know, that kind of movement is going away because we're not allowing that anymore. So thank you for writing that article. I hope a lot of people read it and, you know, start understanding what they need to do so we can all be equal here. What inspires you to write music?
I am inspired to write music by because I feel like a lot of the music that's out there, you know, even if it's honest, you know, I have kids and I hear, you know, the stuff that they listen to, and there's so much about like relationship drama, and there's so much kind of negative stuff and angst, and so I try to write music that is inspiring, you know, because I feel like that positivity, you know, I kind of want to sort of give people, you know, something that could inspire them. And, you know, I want to put out something positive. And, you know, it's like that's my contribution, you know, because digital music just gets everywhere now. And it's like if I'm going to go through all this trouble of making music and people are going to hear it, it's like I might as well make something that is helpful to society rather than just looking to sell records or whatever, you know what I mean? It's like I'm gonna try to contribute something positive, so that's really what inspires me, is like I have a lot to say, you know, and so music gives me a platform to say that, and I also just you know, I love music, you know, so I love to create, I love to write. I mean, I was an instrumentalist only before I was a singer. I mean, I just love music, you know, so it's great.
I love that. I decided to rebrand myself because I said, you know, it's great to chart, it's great to do all these other things, but I want my music to make a difference. So I decided to, you know, focus more on social impact message songs, and I released an album last year, and I feel a lot better about that because I want my music to make a difference. I want somebody to say, oh, wow, I listened to that, and I made some change, or I really put myself in somebody else's shoes. I mean, you know, you may not change everybody, but somebody else is listening. So, you know, trying to create music to bring out that positivity is just great. So I love that. So I've been asking everybody, you know, about this one thing. So I'm going to ask you, you know, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding the whole Grammy Awards, one of the performances, you know, with Cardi B and Megan Stallion. And, you know, some people are like, well, they're being empowered to do, you know, what they're doing. That's a specific genre. That's what it is. Other people in the know, that wasn't good for television. Some people want to blame them rather than blame the Grammys because the Grammys obviously knew what they were doing. So what's your take on the whole thing? I don't know if you watched the video or not.
You know what? I did not. I didn't see it. I've had a bunch of stuff to do. I've been really busy. And,
right.
You know, sometimes watching the Grammys, you know, sometimes it affects my creativity in a negative way.
Mm.
You know, it's like, oh, I should be like that. I should be like
right.
that. And it's like, I want to be really fresh, like from my true self and not be influenced by these things that it's like, okay, society is embracing this. Therefore I should
right.
be that, you know, I just don't even want to mess with that. You know what I mean? So, so anyways, like, can you fill me in? Like what'd they do?
So what did they do? So, you know, it's their whole song, Whack, which is very sexually toned song. And so they were dancing. It was very risque. I mean, at one point it seemed like you could see everything inside of Cardi B. So for me, the performance was okay, but it could have been tweaked a little bit. I mean, for what they did, you know, if it were on HBO cable television, it would have been appropriate. But at the same time, they are artists. I don't like people telling me what to do in my artistry. And, you know, this is empowerment for them, especially in that genre. But for some people, it was just not a little. It was a lot risque. And it just shouldn't have been on television because there are kids that are watching, teenager or whoever are watching. And so a lot of people are just offended by that. Now, I read a bunch of things on Facebook where some people were arguing about it back and forth. What was interesting, there was one guy in there that was really for the women. He's like, look, this is art. This is their genre. This is what they do. This is Cardi B. This is Megan Stallion. If you
yeah,
haven't
the guy's
video,
for it. yeah.
yeah, he was for it.
Yeah, they're empowered. Yeah.
yeah, well, he put it in what? Terms, and he's like, have you even seen the video? Because basically, the video that they put out there, their own music video, is basically what they represented it on the Grammys. So it's not like something where people should have been shocked. That's what he's trying to say. Because it's been out there for months, at least a year. I don't know how long this song has been out. But people know the connotation of the song. The Grammys know the connotation of the song. So, but they want to bash these women, and they want to call them sluts and whores and this and that. And I don't think that's fair. What do you think? I know you haven't seen the video, but that's the description.
I mean, I get it. You know, I get it. So, like, I mean, really, I think that they can do whatever they want to do, but I think that, you know, censorship or whatever kind of falls on the network, and if that's on network TV
right.
during prime time, that, I mean, that they allow that is kind of
right.
their issue. And I think that TV... I mean, I personally think the TV allows too much. I mean, I think they keep pushing it with violence and with sex and with, you know, everything, pushing it further and further and further. So I think
right.
that the standards of, like, public, watchable, broadcast TV, major networks, I mean, I think that it's too much. But
right.
I don't think that's really their problem. I think that it's, you know, the network's issue for allowing
right.
that. And maybe they shouldn't have allowed it. Because there's a lot of stuff that people call art that, you know, I used to do gigs at a place
mm-hmm.
where the guy had this art gallery and he wanted music in there. And his art was, some would call it pornography. You know, I mean,
okay.
it was these women and it's like, I mean, it was very artsy, but it was naked women,
right.
you know. And so it's like, okay, and this guy, this was his art, you know. Should you bring, you know, a 10-year-old in there? No, you know. So it's like, so I feel like that they are allowed to do their art, but
right.
you know, the network should be smarter about that. You know, and also that reminds me of I've thought about this before, like, okay, so sexuality in women, you know who I, and maybe, you know, I'm kind of dating myself, but you know who I think is a really good example of this is Madonna. Madonna owned it. Madonna owned it. She was nobody's victim. She was powerful, and she got to be one of the biggest stars in the world. And I don't think that sexuality is a bad thing, but it depends on if you do it. But then women do it, like, okay, so after Madonna, then came, like, Britney Spears. And it didn't seem like she owned it. It seemed like she was a victim of the industry, of, oh, you guys want to see this. This will get me popular. So it just, it's really delicate, like, how the women approach it. If they, if that's really who they are, and if they really own it, that, you know, I would imagine Cardi B's a badass. I mean, I would imagine she's owning it. So that she's not being sort of a sexualized victim of the media. So if it's really delicate, it kind of depends on what place that it's coming from. Like, if that's really who they are and they own it and they're not going to be anybody's victim, then, I mean, I think more power to them, you know. But yeah, it's so delicate, you know. I mean, I have two daughters, and, you know, I've always been careful about, you know, I don't want them to be sexualized. And so, I mean, they're a little older now. You know, they're past a really impressionable age. They're, like, in their 20s, and they're both pretty solid, you know. I mean, neither of them sexualize themselves for, like, oh, this is what people do, this is what people wear, look at the attention I get. So anyways, yeah, it's this fine line between if the reason, you know, really your self-confidence and the reason you're doing it.
True. Very, very true. I like your answer. When and how did you decide to pursue music as a career?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting story because it's like I kind of ran away from it for a long time, but it's really who I am, you know? I mean, it's just, it's just in my blood. It's just in my soul. And I had another career, you know. I was an English as a second language teacher, instructor in college and stuff. And, like, when I was younger, so when I grew up, there were not a lot of female examples, you know.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up in the Detroit area, and, I mean, I listened to, like, radio, rock and pop radio. And so, what, there was Pat Benatar, you know, and it's like, I don't want to be like her, you know. I mean, she's great, but she had this, you know, image of, I didn't identify with that, you know. And so I don't know. I just thought, well, I mean, I played the piano as a kid, and I thought, okay, I thought that my options were limited to being a classical pianist, which I didn't really want to put in that kind of time. You know what I'm saying? It's like people that are really good and go to college for piano and stuff, I mean, they got to practice like 5 hours a day and stuff, and I just didn't want to. And, I mean, that way of life is really a commitment, and I didn't love that kind of music that much. I liked to create. I liked to write. I didn't even think being a songwriter was an option, you know. And then I thought my other option, besides being, you know, going to be a classical musician, was being like a lounge singer or a lounge pianist. And I just didn't want to do that. I mean, I didn't want to be like a bar person, you know, being in bars, CD people and stuff. So, I just didn't want that. I just didn't see myself in that life, you know. So those were my only options in my mind as a kid. So then after I got, you know, into my 20s, people started coming out like Jewel and Sarah McLachlan. And, you know, there were some more kind of mellow artists that were getting to be pretty popular. And then, you know, then a little bit later was Norah Jones. And so I thought, well, oh, okay, you know, and I'd like to write. And then I started playing the acoustic guitar and singing. And I was pretty old. I mean, I didn't even start singing till I was near 30, you know. I never sang in my life. I mean, I just didn't.
Oh, wow.
And because I was really shy, you know, I was really shy and that just like being on stage and I was terrified of that. So anyways, but I just, music comes so easily to me. You know what I mean? It's like I suck at sports. You know what I mean? It's like some things I'm just not good at, but I just, music, I don't know, whatever I did, it's like, oh, look, it's pretty decent. And then I started singing and people are like, wow, you sound really great. And I was like, okay. I just kind of I had to get the courage to go with who I really am, you know. And then I finally, you know, really committed to it. Gosh, not till I was at least late 30s, you know, till I really committed to it. And then I thought, okay, I'm too old to try and like put myself out there as a, you know, artist. So I started sending, I thought, well, I could be a songwriter, you know, a songwriter, and I sell or give my songs to other people. And so I started sending my stuff to Nashville, and they rejected everything, you know. And so I started doing my own recordings, and they started doing well. You know, I was sending them for film and TV placements, and they were getting picked up. You know, like the second song I ever wrote in my life got bought. They bought for money. They bought the master for like this studio in Burbank, Telepictures, that does the Ellen show. So, like, the second song I ever wrote, they bought it. And I was like, awesome, you know. So, anyways, I just kept recording things with my own voice. And it's like, well, who cares if I'm not 20, you know? I mean, people are liking this, you know. And so that's how I came around to doing this.
That's awesome. I mean, there's no age. There's no age for music. You know, I keep trying to tell people that if it's in you, it's going to come out.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's audio, the way I figure. You know, I mean, I'm a little shy about video. I mean, I do video. It's not my favorite thing. I'm not as comfortable as my daughters with video. But you know, I'm getting used to it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like you. Like, when I first started, I started late, but I was like, oh my, I was very shy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I ever going to get on stage and do this stuff? Because I don't know about that stuff.
I know,
and
I know.
And then after a while, I was I was just like, how am I going to do that? I'm shaking. And then after a while, I was just like, oh, screw this. I'm going to put my best energy out there. I'm going to love what I do. I'm going to put out the best performance that I can, and that's it. I can't worry about what they care. I don't care what they think. I had to have that mentality to be able to go out on stage and just and put out a good performance, because it's almost when you start caring about what people think is that when you get jittery and you're nervous and you're like, oh, my God, they're not going to like it. So I just had to take them out of the equation. And it's funny because with music, you know, if you're trying to do sync or, you know, licensing and stuff like that, you kind of have to care what they think. So I get the whole being nervous and fearful of being on stage. It's been crazy. So we're going to play one of your songs.
Yeah, it really took me a while, and I still get nervous, you know, before performances.
Yeah, no, it's funny. When I do solo stuff by myself, I'm more nervous, but when I have the band behind me, I'm like, oh, I'm like, I got this. So we're going to play one of your songs.
Yeah, that does help.
Yeah, no, it does. What is Changeless Sky about?
Oh, that is... Well, let me start by saying my last album, full album called Love, that was mostly just these sort of positive songs that were inspiring and stuff. And so then after that I started to do some actual, like, straight up love songs. So Changeless Sky is a love song. It's just, you know, I've been married for a long time, and it's just like, I'm your rock. You know, not all this other stuff is changing around us. The world is crazy, you know, but I'm here for you no matter what. No matter what is going on outside, it doesn't matter. I'm still here for you. So that's what Changeless Sky is about, because the clouds, storms, you know, it's like all this stuff goes on in the sky, but under there, you know, way up there is still blue. It's always blue. So that's what that song's about.
Right. I love that. Okay. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and then we're going to hear the song. Hold on 1 second.
Hi, it's Jordan.
And Madison. And we're Jay Madison out of Nashville, Tennessee. We'd love to tell you about B Squared Management, artist services by artists for artists. Get your press, branding, single release, and sync success plan now at bsquaredmgmt.com.
And listen up to our latest single, Down, now on Spotify.
In the blink of an eye, I'll be there to empathize. I'll toss up some magic dust, get you unstuck each time. You got me for good, I'll laugh in your black tattoo. Ain't nothing can stop my love, I'm here for you through it all. 'Cause I am your changeless sky. No matter the sun and shade passing by, the world might be twisted, thrashing right outside, but I am your changeless sky. An electric blue, I'll drop everything I'm supposed to do and jump right to your side. Lean back, I got you, so just relax. I'm solid as granite rock, around the clock I'll be there. 'Cause I am your chain. Shade passing by, the world might be twisting, thrashing right outside, but I am your changeless sky.
I would go see you live. Maybe you can just sing to me. How's that? That would be awesome.
What instruments do you play?
Natalie plays my voice. So I've been trying to learn how to play the keyboard piano for the longest time. I bought a smart keyboard. So that I can learn how to play.
Okay.
It's been in the box for 4 years. I've been so busy. But this year I have to do it. It has to be a goal. And I have to at least open the box. And learning how to play. I tried to play guitar. But you know what? I felt like a contortionist. Because, you know, you have to.
Oh, I know. I like the piano better for that reason. Yeah. So was your main thing voice?
Yeah, my main thing's voice, and I sing in several different genres. I mean, I do it almost all except for opera. I've done pop, jazz, world. And I also sing in French, English, Spanish, and Haitian Creole. I released a world album a couple of years ago. So, yeah, and I write my own lyrics.
Oh,
I work
so
with
fun.
A music. Yeah. So,
that's
yeah,
so
I
cool.
Have the versatility thing going. So, yeah, so I have that. But I still feel like I need to have, I need to know how to play an instrument. I think that's helpful. I think it's key.
There's a lot of other people that do. You know what I mean? It's like if you don't, it's like it sounds like you got a pretty good thing going. I mean, that's so cool that you sing in those other languages. You know, in America, we're all so monolingual. It's kind of sad, you know. But
oh, thank you so much. How have you grown through your journey in music?
I have, you know, really overcome some challenges, and that makes me feel good. Like, you know, I was really, I mean, I was just so afraid to be on stage and afraid to sing in front of people and all that. And I mean, it took everything I had to overcome that, everything. You know, I remember the first time I performed was at an open mic and I was shaking. And it's like, I just made myself do it. I just made myself do it. And, you know, so really, I guess, pushing myself to overcome my personal challenges, you know, has been fulfilling. You know, I mean, there are some things that I still would like to do. I mean, I'd like to be a better guitar player, but I just don't feel like practicing it that much. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to play. You got to practice it a lot. And I mean, I like the piano better. And, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying about the guitar. It's like your hand has to be all crazy and all bent around it and pressing.
Right.
And, you know, and it's hard. And, I mean, I definitely strum chords. You know, I mean, I used to perform with just acoustic guitar. You know, I mean, I did a bunch of performing at bistros and stuff like that. And, I mean, I played pretty simply. But, you know, it's fine. I used to practice with the metronome for those solo gigs. And it's like, if you're doing rhythm guitar, as long as you can hold that beat, you know, it's all that matters, you know. I just didn't want my tempo to be all over the place. So, like, if it was simple, at least it was in time. And, you know, that's what I did. So, yeah, and I've also grown just really at developing my own self-confidence. You know, I've really worked a lot at that. You know, I've worked pretty hard with different techniques of self-esteem and self-confidence and trying to send myself positive messages and things like that.
Right.
'Cause, you know, we all have, like, self-talk that's all usually negative and self-doubt. And but just I've learned to kind of give myself credit. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that was good. You're doing good with this. And it's like I think that we have to. You know, I just think that we have to, or we'll just be overcome by the negative and the self-doubt, you know. So I feel like I've really kind of learned to manage my my self-esteem and my stress and things like that with music.
No, I love that. No, I every day I go through, why am I doing music? This is like a lot of work. And but at the same time, it's my saving grace. I mean, I don't know where I would be without the music. It's just helped me through so many things and challenges and stuff like that. And it allows us to express ourselves when we can't, when there's no other outlet. You know, when I'm angry, I can sing it out. I can belt it out. Or if I'm happy, I can belt it out as well. So, no, I agree with you 100%. What accomplishments are you most proud of?
What I'm really proud of is really connecting with people, you know. It's like, yeah, I've had some music play since, you know, Hallmark movie and all that stuff, and that's cool. But what really gets to my heart is, so, for example, I got an email a little over, well, I think it was 2 years ago now, and I thought it was some kind of spam or something. But it was somebody saying, oh, we want you, I represent this person and this kind of owner of a corporation that I had heard of, you know, and we want to fly you out to California to play at this author's birthday party, because this author, his name is Gay Hendricks, and he's a really, he's pretty well known, like, in the self-help field. He was kind of a pioneer in that. So anyways, his name is Gay Hendricks. He's written a whole bunch of books. And so, and it wasn't a joke. The email was real. And so, you know, I talked to somebody, and they flew me out there, and I was able to, you know, bring my husband, because I just thought, these total stranger contacts me on the internet. I don't want to go alone.
Right.
So anyways, yeah, it was really awesome. So this author, this Gay Hendricks person, he had heard my song called Beautiful Truth, and that is a song about learning to love yourself. So Beautiful Truth is, you know, there's a beautiful truth in you. And, you know, the song talks about self-doubt and how everybody's hard on themselves, but it's about self-acceptance and self-love. And he heard it, and he really resonated with it, and he loved it so much. He sent it to all his friends. And so one of his friends was this sort of wealthy, you know, corporation person. And so, so anyways, yeah, they flew me out there. I played for his birthday party as a surprise. Ojai, California. And he was so happy. I mean, and I did it on stage, and he wanted me to do it again. And it was just like that, this song meant so much to this guy. It was great, you know? And then, some of my other songs, you know, I wrote this one called Epiphany that was on Dance Moms. It really got out there because of Dance Moms. And it's about, I just wrote it about my own musical struggles. You know, it's like, I have this in the song, it's like I have this epiphany about like learning to have faith and letting go.
Right.
It's like, you know, because I can't control it, you know, it's like, it was kind of an uphill battle with music. You know, I wasn't really getting, I wasn't really achieving my goals. You know, I was submitting to things, getting rejected. So it was, the song is about having faith, and, you know, it's not necessarily a religious song. It's just, you know, about having faith.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've gotten so many like comments and stuff on the video online, all these young people and like people who are listening to it for dance, they're like, oh, this song means so much to me. And I played it for my aunt in the hospital, and it meant so much to her. And that is like, that kind of thing is, I feel like the accomplishment I'm most proud of is really reaching people and really affecting them, you know, in a positive way. And that is just so great.
Yeah, no, I love that. I especially love the story about the author, because, you know, that's a testimony that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. If you can affect somebody that way, that is just beautiful. And you got on stage and you did your thing. I love that.
Yeah. So, and you know what, just so you know, and any other artists listening, so, you know, I mean, you know how hard it is for independent artists to get radio play, right? So he heard the song from Pandora, and I don't know, are you familiar with Pandora Amp, AMP?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he heard it from that. You know, I was promoting the song on Pandora Amp, which is like the free platform. It's free, and they'll bump up you know, artists, you know, bump up a song, and they'll, you know, get it more plays for like 8 weeks.
Right.
So it was getting more plays, and he heard it on Pandora. And so, yeah, that's how he heard it.
Yeah. The beginning of the pandemic, I was like, okay, let me look into the Pandora thing, because I had put that all to the side. And every time I kept saying, I got to do it. And then I started doing there. So they do webinars every now and then for people that don't know about AMP, and teaching you how to use it and stuff like that, and getting plays and to do it. I mean, I did something for one of the songs. There's another song I'd like to do that for. So I'm glad that you're reminding me to do that.
I try to keep something going all the time with them. You know, when one song is done, I do another one.
I have to do that. So thank you for the reminder.
Yeah.
So what is So Good to Be about your song?
Oh, So Good to Be Free. Yeah, that's So Good to Be Free. You know, you're going to like that one. Yeah, because that one is, That one I wrote about the freedom that comes from not caring what anybody thinks.
I don't have to hear it.
Yeah, you know, because we all, you know, I mean, I spent so much time, especially when I was younger and, you know, in my teens and 20s, and just, you know, you worry so much about what people think and am I dressed right, am I acting right, you know.
Right.
But it's like I kind of got to a certain age and I'm like, I really don't care. You know, I mean, I go out in sweats and no makeup. You know,
amen.
I mean, I wouldn't do music appearances like that, but, you know,
right?
I mean, and I used to not do that, you know. I used to always have makeup on when I saw friends or people or anybody, even the grocery store, you know. It's like, okay,
right,
that's ridiculous. So anyways, So the song is about the freedom that comes from being true to yourself and just not worrying about it.
I love it. All right, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We're going to play it. Hold on.
Hi, this is Nikki Chris, and I host a podcast called Mixin' It. Mixin' It focuses on women in the music, entertainment, and the performing arts. Our goal is to provide an avenue for industry veterans and up-and-coming artists, musicians, engineers, and producers to showcase their talent. Listen to Mixin' It on Monday Music Madness at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Sim Radio Network.
Oh, it's so good to be free. Your rules don't apply to me, no. I blow away all the pressure to measure up to what don't mean a thing. Oh, it's so good to be free, yeah. No slave to society, no. I realize that to fit in, quitting on the one and only me. Oh, I'm free as me. I don't need the look or the trend. I'll be the least cool of my friends. You can have all that. I won't freeze a pack. I'm free, be whatever I choose to be. Oh, it's so good to be free, letting life roll with such ease, yeah. What used to cause me to stress out, I'm less now, cause that stuff don't own me. Oh, I'm finally.
Freedom, and Natalie's going to do what she wants. So I like it. what is it like to be a woman in a male-dominated field?
Well, you know. yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I mean, I'm going to be honest, sometimes it's an advantage, you know, kind of, you know, I mean, sometimes, you know, men are like, you know, I don't know, you know, sometimes they, you know, with each other, they can be sort of competitive, but they're not competitive with me. And sometimes they sort of are very gentle, you know, and sort of, you know, sometimes these career professional musicians, you know, they treat me kind of delicately, you know, and that's nice, but because I don't really want to be treated like one of them, because the way these guys talk to each other, you know, no thanks, you know, and, you know, they compete with each other and try to outdo each other, and it's like, I don't want any part of that. That's stupid. But it's, you know, I try to, I do try to seek out women to collaborate with. And, you know, so I try to support women as I can because, you know, being, you know, with women being in the minority, I think that we're really doing good. You know, I think that we're really doing good coming up. There's more female producers. There's more female engineers. There's more female instrumentalists. And, you know, so I try to, you know, encourage and support that. And, but yeah, so it's a little more challenging to find women to support sometimes, you know, because like I said, I'm in the Detroit area and most of the professional musicians here by far are male. But, you know, I have reached out to some people. There is an organization called She Is the Music. Are you familiar with it?
Okay.
No. Are you familiar with that?
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, you got it. You should join it. Okay, so it's like basically it's a database. Okay, so it's called sheisthemusic.org, I think.
Okay.
It was started by, I think, Alicia Keys. She has something to do with it. It's kind of a source for women to find each other. And, you know, you do a profile and you put in your skills and things like that. And so it's a place where women can, you know, find other women to either collaborate with or support or hire or whatever, you know. So, yeah, it can be
That's a little bit
of a challenge, you know, being a woman in that way, you know, trying to support and find other women who have the skills that I might need for a particular project, you know, it can be tough. Although there is a female producer I think I'm going to be working with pretty soon. So the challenge is like trying to support this movement and trying to support women. And I make sure that I support women in other ways, like listen to them, you know, like I think that her is really great, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what
she,
I don't know if she goes by APR or her, but she's really great, you know. So yeah,
her. Yes, no, I know her. What is coming up for you?
Well, I'm really excited about a new album that I'm working on. So last summer, I had released some singles, which is when I released So Good to Be Free and Changeless Sky and a couple other ones into the fall. And that's like in preparation for an album that I'll be releasing this year. I mean, it's not going to be really soon because it's not done yet, but it will be good if I could have it done by summer. You know, I don't have a date yet, but yeah, so I have this new album project, and I'm super excited about it because I have some things in production right now. So, you know, if there's anybody listening who might want to hear that, you could follow me on Spotify, and then you get notified when it'll be out.
Awesome. So let our audience know where they can – go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm also working on – that'll be released sooner – I am working on a remix of the song Epiphany that was on Dance Moms. That song is like my most listened to on YouTube. And it's really this ballad. You know, it's a ballad. There's strings and piano, and it's really slow. And so I had this beat maker, drummer person do a remix, and it's pretty cool. So I'm super excited to put that out. You know, it's like the same song,
awesome.
But with a beat over it. Yeah, it's not, that kind of thing isn't really my forte, but I found somebody who's super good at it, so.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear the remix. Remixes can always be some powerful thing. So I've done a couple of remixes on my song, and I really love them, so I can't wait to hear that. Tell our audience
kind of
where they can find you. Yeah. Yeah, you know what's interesting, though, is that...
What?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
My partner, Nikki Chris, with Sisters in Music, she also has a dance song on Dance Mom, and it did fairly well. I don't know which song it is. I have to find it. But her music was on Dance Mom as well, so you guys are like sister Dance Mom people.
Singer-songwriter. And, you know, that's great that they use independent music on that show.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, because that's... Let me tell you, that's one of the things. I don't know if you're on Clubhouse or anything else, but I've been chatting with a bunch of people, and one of the things with Clubhouse, they have little groups where people talk about how to get your music and licensing and sync, and a lot of the conversations have been towards independence because they know that it's hard for us to be seen and heard in front of, you know, we're competing against the mainstream artists, and some of them have even said, you know, sometimes they choose the mainstream artists because they think that more people will watch or listen to the show. But, you know, they're delving more into the indie and the artist thing. I know that UMG and Sony are trying to dip into creating now new independent artist labels. So we'll see how all of that is going to pan out. Yeah, it's awesome. So tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Well, my website is angelapreedom.com. It's spelled like the name Prudhomme, but with an E there. So it's P-R-E-D-H-O-M-M-E. And that name is pretty unique, so they'll probably find me. So, yeah, angelapreedom.com. But, you know, it's on all the streaming sites, you know, whatever they like to listen to, if it's Apple Music or Spotify or Tidal or any of that. You know, they could just type in my name and find my stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Angela,
thank you so much for
being on Chatting with Nat. I really appreciate you taking your time out for me to be on this my podcast. I've learned a lot. I love your music.
Oh, you're
welcome. Have a wonderful voice, and I hope someday to see you on stage because I'd like to see you perform.
Where are you?
And I'm actually in Kensington, Maryland. I'm in Maryland. I can travel.
Oh, okay.
Once this pandemic is over.
Yeah, you know, I like the East Coast. I would like to get to the East Coast. I mean, there's a lot of listeners there, you know, people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting the way that the country is. It's like there are places where people are a little bit more receptive to my music than others. You know, like my music,
right.
I don't consider it country. You know, it's not country. So it's not really... It's bigger on the East Coast and the West Coast than the South and the middle of the U.S.
Right.
So yeah,
awesome.
East Coast, I mean, you know, I will at some point get over there for a tour because there's definitely listeners over there. So.
Yeah, you'll have to let me know when you're out east because I'll
definitely
come out and see you. I'll come and cheer you on.
Well, I have you sing some,
too. Yes.
If you're up to it, that's cool.
No, I'm always up to it. It's definitely a date. I can't wait. No, this is something to look forward to. So I have it in my vision.
Post-pandemic. Yeah.
Post-pandemic. No, I love this. This is what Sisters in Music is all about. It's about empowering women, but it's also about sisterhood and inspiring and supporting one another. So I really appreciate that. Thank you again so much for being on Chatting with Nat. I hope you have a great evening, and I hope we stay in touch. Now you're going to do part two in the Music Connection magazine, right?
You know, I did.
Oh,
yeah,
you didn't search for it.
Yeah. I think it was published maybe early, like in early February, maybe?
Early, what edition is this? Because this one, part one is in the February edition, so maybe it's in the March edition.
You know, I don't know if they put it in print or not.
Okay, so I'll look online.
Yeah.
I'll look online.
Yeah, because, you know, print, I mean, I was thrilled they put the one in print because hardly anybody prints anything anymore. It's like, wow, that's a big deal to put it in print. Cool.
No, it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, no, so I'll look online and check you out. I'm about to choke to death. Sorry. Yeah, I was in Music Connector magazine, too. They reviewed a couple of my songs, so I had been trying to get in there for the longest time. I was like, oh, my God, three songs, yay. But,
yeah.
So that's awesome that you're in there. But thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been really fun. It was great talking with you.
It was great talking with you, too. I hope you have a great evening, and let's keep in touch.
Yeah, okay. Okay, see ya. Have
you
a good night, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, all right, bye.
Bye.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.